Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Getting to that point, Scott, now here we are, the middle of September, and won't be long. We had another round of primaries last night, and some very interesting developments. Seemed that the Tea Party-backed candidates did very well, which in some ways people think may eventually help the Democrats. We'll see how that turns out in this election and what it means in terms of Democrats controlling the House and the Senate. Obviously going to lose some seats. That happens in almost every midterm election. How many is another matter, and that's something that both parties furiously fighting now for control, and that's what it's all about, being able to have the majorities, having those committee chairs, being able to control debate, etc. I want to welcome in our first guest today, and that is Lansing Mayor and Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Virge Bernero. Hello, Virge.
Good. How are you, Jack?
I am just fine. While I am talking with you, Rick Snyder isn't going to be joining us, is he?
I certainly hope so.
You would like that.
Absolutely.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what happened the other night, because we had Rick on the phone, and they said that there was a little bit of commotion. And you were there. Apparently, that was a nice surprise. And you were prepared to extend an invitation. Can you take it from there?
Sure. I mean, we were having a hard time getting through with all the handlers and the negotiators, the lawyers. And I said, you know, I think we've made this thing overcomplicated, this idea of a debate. I mean, all you need is two podiums and a moderator, you know, a Jack Ebling in the middle, something
right.
like that.
I like it.
I just wanted to reach out to him directly, person to person, and I had no intention of disrupting his thing or anything, but I just figured he would be there mm-hmm. because he's the headliner.
Right.
And so I went in and asked for Rick. I was going to hand him an envelope with a letter that says, can we sit down to coffee and just talk one-on-one and get this thing settled? I think in 20 minutes or a half hour at most over coffee, we can agree to three debates. And that's the goal, Jack. I mean, I just feel the public deserves a debate. That's how it's done ever since Lincoln and Douglas. When you're running for an important office, you have a debate or two or three.
Rick said he was willing to do some debates, but the last minute there were some additional clauses or conditions added.
No, totally false, Jack. I mean, last minute. What is last minute? When you say last minute, this idea that there's 11th hour changes, the deadline was created by him. His team arbitrarily issued a deadline. They issued a thing saying last offer. You know, this might be how it's done on Wall Street, but we had been negotiating. As far as I'm concerned, Jack, we didn't even need negotiations. My point is, if you have a debate, if you have a radio show, you want a debate, okay, I'll call up, he calls up, we're on the show together. You know, what is this negotiate?
Right.
I don't need to dictate the terms. I mean, of the rebuttal time or the speech time or the format, that can be decided by the media. The point is, yeah, I had some problems with his final offer. His final offer included things like he didn't want any stream on the line, on the web. He didn't want any live streaming video. Mm-hmm. He didn't want any reuse for broadcast. He didn't want any reuse online. Here he is, a computer executive, and he's afraid of using the computer. A lot of people get their information off the computer today. I had problems. I had problems. He wanted a debate at noon instead of at 7 o'clock when more people could see it.
Well, he said that was going to be telecast later. And, Virge, as much as you enjoy debating, wouldn't half a loaf be better than none at all?
Look, he wanted to debate in a closet where nobody could see it or hear it.
Okay.
You know, you may as well have no debate. My point is, I'm open for debates, anything that the media puts out there. I'd already agreed to three, the WXYZ and a few others. He's the one that wanted the negotiations so he could limit the term, so he could limit the exposure. The purpose of a debate is so people will see it. And for him to think that he can limit the exposure is ridiculous. That's what a debate is about. You know, he wants the job, but he doesn't want to go through the interview. And that's not how it works. It might work that way on Wall Street. It doesn't work that way on Main Street. You want the job. The interview is what the public deserves, and the debate is the public's interview.
All right. Instead of just handing him the letter now, when you are face-to-face with him, there's an opportunity to join him at the town hall that night. Take us through that, if you would.
Well, he was most gracious and invited me to join him in his established town hall. Now, keep in mind, these town hall meetings present the facade of an open exchange and a free exchange.
Right.
In fact, you know, they're mostly Snyder supporters who are invited. Mm-hmm. And so he was invited me to go into a hostile audience, which I readily accepted.
Right.
I appreciate his graciousness in inviting me. We went in. The people were stunned. They were, you know, just slightly a little bit rude at first, but they warmed up pretty quickly. And he helped tone them down, and we had an exchange of ideas there.
Okay.
And it was very cordial, and I think we could do that again and again. I think we could do it at his if he wants to change the town hall meeting, if he's comfortable with that format, let's invite people, let's have an auditorium, bring in a journalist or not, you know, maybe we could just take field questions directly, but mm-hmm. televise it, let people see it so they get an idea what, you know, they get a measure of the man, get a measure of Rick Snyder, get a measure of Virgil Bernero, see what's in our heart, see what's on our mind, and really test out our ideas, our visions, and our plans to move Michigan forward.
So where do we stand now? Are we going to have the debates? Do you have an indication of when you're going to meet him for coffee?
Well, we've been trying to schedule that meeting. He agreed to meet with me for coffee to discuss this and other issues. We're trying to schedule it. So I'm hopeful that that comes. I'm hopeful that he sees reason and sees that there is value. Some people say, well, there's no need that Verge wants it because he's desperate and Rick doesn't want it because he's up in the polls. That has nothing to do with it.
And you don't care where you meet or what kind of coffee, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, it's what the public deserves. The public should get a chance to see us other than in 30-second infomercials. They're going to see plenty of that, attack ads on all sides. This is a chance to really see the person, live and in person, and a little more relaxed, you know, unscripted, to see what they, in answer to questions that is on people's minds. And we shouldn't say no to the media. The media is offering these debates. The media represents the public. And when we say no to them, you know, it's not an affront to me, Jack. It's a slap in the face to voters to suggest that you deserve the job without going through the interview.
Virg, there are a couple of things that seem to be front and center in this campaign. Obviously jobs and taxes. And we have a little different way of looking at the tax situation here. Everyone's talking about jobs, but in terms of the Michigan business tax, Rick Snyder wants to repeal that and replace it with a 6% across-the-board corporate income tax. Why is that a bad idea?
Well, I stood with some business owners in Macomb County today for whom it would mean a big tax increase. And these are small businesses, mom-and-pop shops on the main streets in our cities across Michigan. The problem is it's a tax increase for small business, and I'll never do that. I mean, I've been about small business. That's where most jobs are created in this economy, 70 to 80% of them. And they're hurting right now. They're struggling just to stay afloat. And so to give them to call it tax reform and give them a tax increase, you know, it's sort of like the old rule of the doctor. Same thing holds true in public policy. First, do no harm. Well, his plan does harm, and it's kicking those people that are already down. I'm not going to do that. I don't believe in it. It also takes away some incentives for research and development, incentives for new equipment. And so I think it's the wrong way to go. And you know, his partner, Brian Calley, his running mate, is the guy who wrote the MBT surcharge. He's the author of it, the job-killing MBT surcharge. So between the two of them, I think we should nickname them the tax twins. And I just don't think it's a good strategy for Michigan. We need to be growing jobs, growing the economy.
We had Brian Calley on this show. We also had Brenda Lawrence, your lieutenant governor candidate, on about a week or ago. And Brian said he was not the author or the architect of the Michigan business tax surcharge, but he was in the room.
In the room. I got a picture. I've seen a picture of the governor signing that thing, and he's standing right behind her. Now, usually when that happens, those are the people that had a lot to do with it. When they get their photo op with the governor signing.
You don't think it was just because he wanted his picture taken with the governor?
I don't think so. I don't think so. He may want to run from it. And this is why you have debates, Jack, because, you know, you can run from your record, but you can't hide. I'm running on my record. These guys are running away from their record. My opponent, Rick Snyder, is running away from his record of outsourcing jobs. I'm running on my record of creating jobs in Lansing. And what we've done in Lansing, we can do across the state. My opponent says that manufacturing is passe. It's a thing of the past. It should be put to bed. That's a quote. It should be put to bed, and we should move on. But yet, the other day, just yesterday, I drove the new Chevy Volt around the Capitol. That's Michigan's future. That's manufacturing. We made the things that made America great, and we will again. I'm not waving the white flag on manufacturing. It's a huge difference between my opponent and me, and that's the type of thing I'd like to debate with them.
Virg, you're going to buy a Chevy Volt?
I plan to, yes.
Why?
I think it's the future. You know, my dad retired from GM. I only buy American. And I think you got to buy, you know, buy local. I believe in keeping Americans working. And, of course, I would buy American anyway. And I'm getting in the market for a new car. And this is a great vehicle. I was so impressed. I was so excited. I'm telling you, I was like walking on cloud nine all day after driving that thing. It's an engineering masterpiece. It rides like a Cadillac. It's a Chevy. But it rides like a Cadillac. It's a beautiful vehicle. And, of course, you know, no virtually no emissions. It will go a couple hundred miles on a charge. You can recharge it for like $1.20 in Lansing, so you beat the gas pump. I mean, you get that tax credit, so you save a bunch of money. You got a great product. You employ local Michiganders while doing it. It's made in Hamtramck. There's 100 reasons to buy it.
Our guest, Lansing Mayor, I guess last night dubbed America's Mayor again on television. Ed Schultz, obviously a big fan of yours, and the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Virg Bernero, our guest. Virg, before we let you go, I need to ask you a question about the Bush tax cuts. Now, I know that you're running for governor of Michigan. You're not running for United States Senate here, but the idea of having the tax cuts for all but the top 2%, anyone who's making less than $250,000 a year, seems to be a pretty good way to frame this election. It seems like Republicans and Democrats have a strong philosophical difference on this. Where would you stand on this, and what would that mean to the workers in the state of Michigan?
Oh, well, let me be very clear. I'm not in favor of extending the Bush tax cuts for the filthy rich. Look, it's been proven, and this is, I mean, it's not just class thing. When you give tax cuts to the people at the absolute top, the filthy rich, over 250 grand a year, they don't stimulate the economy with it. I mean, they save it, they do whatever. And when you give tax cuts below, it stimulates the economy immediately. So, you know, we compete very favorably with other industrialized country in terms of our taxes on the rich. It is not onerous. It is not onerous. It's the middle class in this country that pays taxes. It's the middle class that is put upon. We get hit. The middle class gets hit every which way. So it's about time that the folks at the very top pay their fair share.
Now, the top tax rate was 50% as recently as when Bill Clinton took office, and it has been much, much more than it is now. Virg, thanks so much for joining us, and
thanks,
we will talk with you again very soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Virg Bernero, Lansing Mayor and Democratic gubernatorial candidate. We will be right back. We're hoping to talk with Lansing City Councilwoman Kathy Dunbar. Really did her homework before the vote on the street renaming for Malcolm X, and we'll find out what she found if we can reach her in just a couple moments on Ebling and You.